an event in history and celebrating it, but it's also about removing the unmovable stones in our own life. It is the great stone we all have in common. When Jesus rose from the dead, he rolls away the stone of reproach, which was sin and death that plagues every human being. If there was no resurrection of the dead, then you and I would still be secure in a cave of death. We would forever be enslaved to sin and lost. People in this world without hope, awaiting impending doom. When Jesus rose from the dead, he literally mocked death in its face. The Bible says that death has been swallowed up in life. And so the stone of sin and death that separates me and you from God has been rolled away from our life because Jesus rose from the dead. It's the story of redemption. But let's get down a little bit more to our everyday life, because there are many other stones that we have to deal with in our life. There are stones that keep us enslaved in some way, stones of impossibility, stones of adversity and circumstances. There are sometimes stones in our life that keep us bound or keep us in darkness. A stone could be some kind of fear that we are plagued with, a bondage, maybe an addiction or a sickness. It could be a way of thinking that disables us. These are all different stones that keep us trapped in our life. They could be a stone that somebody rolled into your life and you have just become a victim of somebody else's actions. Or it very well could be the stones that you've allowed or rolled into your own life. But I believe today that something is going to change. There are miracles in the resurrection. How could I say that? I could say it very easy when you understand that Jesus was raised from the dead some 2,000 years ago, but at the very same time, the resurrection is a current now reality. Right now, right here, in this very moment. It's not just a passing event confined to time and space in history. The resurrection is right now a present reality and a present power that impacts our everyday life. It's right here, right now, in the atmosphere as I speak to you. What I'm trying to say is that the resurrection power is here and available for all who will tap into it. Miracles are in the air right now for you and for me. The Bible makes it noticeably clear that it was the arm of the Lord in Scripture. The arm of the Lord raised Jesus from the dead. You know, when you look through the Scriptures, the Bible not only talks about the arm of the Lord, sometimes it talks about the fingers of God. There was one place in the Bible talked about the fingers of God engraved the Ten Commandments on that table of stone when Moses was in that mountain. Jesus one time said that he cast out demons by the finger of God. And then the Bible talks about, you might have heard this phrase, the hand of God. Not just the fingers of the Lord, but the hand of the Lord. The Bible tells us that creation is his, what? Handiwork. The Bible teaches us that the hand of God speaks about God moving in history or moving in our life. The hand of God is moving. And then the Bible talks about another side of the Lord, and it is the arm of God. The fingers are one thing, the hand is another thing, but then there is the arm of the Lord. And the arm of the Lord in Scripture speaks about the power and the might of Almighty God. It is his strong arm that Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1 said, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so the whole chapter of Isaiah 53 is a chapter of redemption. So the arm of the Lord is speaking about the power that God had to release in order to redeem us. He didn't use his fingers. He didn't use his hand. He had to use the arm of the Lord. So the arm of the Lord speaks about the spirit of might. It speaks about a violent and wrenching power, a delivering power, a power that can break any chain that binds. It's the power that defies death. It's the power that can snatch a soul from its captive. The arm of the Lord was also the arm of the Lord that raised Jesus from the dead. On the third day, God flexes his bicep, and he sent his spirit of might to raise his son from the dead. And the power of God that early Easter morning stirred in the lifeless body of Jesus and hurled back the demonic forces and powers of darkness. It's this power that God demonstrated, that raised his son from the dead, and this very same power rolled away that great stone from the mouth of that cave that morning. Somebody might say, well, that's good for Jesus, that God rescued him with the arm of the Lord, with his muscles of strength, and raised him from the dead and opened up that dark tomb for him. No, it's not just good for Jesus. You've got to understand something. The resurrection is good for you too. In fact, the Bible tells us as believers, according to Romans chapter 8, the same spirit of might that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of all of us. It not only lives inside of us, but it is a power that exerts over believers everywhere. So the resurrection is not just confined to an event in history when God, with his strength and might and power and the arm of the Lord, raises him from the dead and pulls him out alive from a cave of death. No, no, no. It's not just confined to that. If you are a Christian, that same might and that same power that raises him from the dead lives inside of you. It not only lives inside of you, but it exerts over believers everywhere. In other words, right now, the spirit of the resurrection is in our atmosphere. Right now, it's here. No one has to live in a cavern anymore. Resurrection power can lift you out of death-filled situations and turn your life around in an instant. And it could also take you from a dark cavern and seat you at the master's table in an instant. I want you to say there is resurrection power here. Go ahead and say it. Give it recognition. There's resurrection power in the atmosphere. There's an amazing story in the Gospels of resurrection power that took a man from the cave, sat him at the master's table. It's the story about a man named Lazarus. I want to start reading the story a little bit, look at little highlights of the story, but I want to start with the end in mind. It says in John chapter 12, in the first two verses, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was sitting at his table. Let me give you just a little bit of a backdrop of the story that leads us into this verse, or into this scenario of Lazarus sitting at the master's table and dining. In the previous chapter, we find out that Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And all three of them were very close to Jesus. And as you read it, evidently Lazarus became very sick. And it says in verse 1, let's read the first 7 verses of chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but it's actually for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days in that place. And then after this, he says to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." I want you to notice something remarkably interesting right off the bat. When the news reaches Jesus that his good friend, the friend that he loves, is sick, Jesus does something very interesting. It's nice to just take note of it. We don't have to comment much on it, but I will make a comment because it does jump out of the text when I read it. He finds out one of his friends that he loves and is extremely close to is incredibly sick. Instead of immediately going to Bethany, he waits 2 more days before he leaves. In fact, it says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus so that when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days. It almost sounds like nobody would ever do that. It sounds a little bit like a contradiction. If you heard somebody was sick to the point of death, even somebody who is incredibly close to you, you might be moving a little bit quicker, especially if you had power to heal. So Jesus, when I read this, he was never persuaded by circumstances or pressured by circumstances. He was never overly pressured by human need, and you could see it right here. He was never pressured by the expectation of people or what somebody might be thinking about him if he doesn't do something that they expect for him to do. So you can see here, he hears that his friend is sick and he decides, and it says he loves him very much, but he decides to just wait 2 more days. And what's interesting about this is Jesus is not pressured by his surroundings or even by people or the expectations of people. Instead, he's led by his Father and the Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus said in one place, I only do what my Father does, what I see my Father do. I only do what I see my Father do. So he stays two more days in this place. You know, Jesus, think about it. He doesn't always operate on our timetable, right? Come on now. Here's a great example. He doesn't always come when we think that he should be coming. He's not always late when we think that he's late. And so, you know, even though he doesn't work on our timetable, in God's agenda and on God's timetable, I will say this, that God is never late. Sometimes he waits until it looks absolutely impossible. Sometimes he waits until we're about to give up. In this way, he comes in the nick of time, and it's a surprise to us. And in this, God is magnified and glorified, and without a doubt, God is really alive. And so the story continues. In the meantime, Lazarus, he dies. And after 2 days of waiting, he leaves with his disciples and goes to where Lazarus is in Bethany. When he gets to Bethany, Lazarus, the Bible tells us, has been dead for 4 days already. His body has already been placed in a cave, and a great stone was rolled to that cave to seal the mouth of that opening. When Martha heard that Jesus had come, Martha ran off. And when she finds Jesus, she falls before the master's feet and begins to cry and says, if you had only been here, our brother would have not died. And Jesus said, your brother's gonna rise again. And Martha said, no, I know about the resurrection in the last day when all those who know you are raised up. But that really doesn't help us right now. And that's really not gonna bring back my brother right now. I know what you're saying, the doctrine of the last resurrection at the end of time. I understand that you've taught us about that, Jesus, but that doesn't really do anything for us right now. You see, Martha's referring to that resurrection at the last judgment. In other words, she was limiting Jesus to a future hope or event. But Jesus is about to bring the ultimate future to the present now. He's about to show everybody that was there that he could bring a taste of eternity and the power of the age to come into the now, into the atmosphere, into our present moment right now, into a person's real life situation. And Jesus responds to her and says, I am the resurrection and their life. No, I know, Jesus. I know one day we're all going to be raised again. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to manifest resurrection power right now. I'm going to bring eternity into the present moment right now. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And this is so profound when Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. One translation says, I am right now. Resurrection and life. I am not in the future as I stand before you. I am in the present moment. Come on now. I am in the present moment. I am right now. Somebody say right now. Say right now. I am right now the resurrection and the life. In other words, Jesus is saying the resurrection is an event. It's not an event. It's a person. It's a person, and he is claiming to be that person right now. Not just some 2,000 years ago. Right now means in the present moment. That means for you and me right now. I am. He is the great I am. Not the great I was. Not the great I will be. He's right now in the present moment. I am that I am that I am. I am the great I am. I am right now resurrection. I am right now resurrection. I am right now life. Do you believe, he says. In other words, he was saying, if you believe, he will overcome death. The one who believes will overcome death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. He that believes in me shall never die. So if you die, yet you will live. Physical death, you will live in eternity. Spiritual death. He says right here in this verse, he that believes in me shall never die. In other words, ultimately, when you come to Christ, you will never see spiritual death. It's the promise of eternal life that is found as you put your faith in the Son of God. But it's not just speaking about Jesus overcoming physical death and overcoming spiritual death, but it's also talking about Jesus overcoming the offspring of spiritual death, which is sickness and bondage and the things that we struggle with here in the earth, in the now, right here, addictions and curses and poverty, demonic powers and oppression and depression, all types of darkness, darkness in the soul and in the mind. What does Jesus mean when he says, he that believes in me shall live? You know what he means? He means he that believes in me will be fully alive. You will live life to its fullest. Do you believe this? I am right now resurrection. I am right now life. And I want to make you fully alive. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And he says to you today, do you believe this? Do you believe this? He is saying, he that believes in me will be fully alive. You can't live life to its fullest while you're bound with a bondage, while you're living in captivity, while you are locked up in a dark cavern, while you are hiding in a cave. You cannot be fully alive. Do you believe me? Martha says, yes, I believe. And then she returned back to the house and told Mary that the master wants to see her. And Mary runs out to meet Jesus. Pick it up in verse 32. When Mary arrives and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. So I read this to you because I want you to see something. I want to highlight something. And it's the humanity of Jesus coming out in the open, being revealed right here in this verse, because it says that he was deeply troubled. He was angry, or deep anger welled up from within him. It also says that he wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. He was troubled. He was deeply angry, and he wept. Come on, some of you never could see Jesus that way. The Bible shows us he wants you to see the humanity of Jesus. He's angry. He weeps. He's deeply troubled. He's expressing human emotion. And so it says that he was angry. He was angry that death is causing so much pain to the people around him. He's angry that death is running rampant in his creation. He is angry at the repercussions of a fallen and broken world. And then it said he wept. He wept not because he would miss his friend, Lazarus. He knew what was about to take place. He was going to raise him up. So it wasn't because he missed his friend. He wept, in my opinion, because of those who were around him. He connected. He empathized with those who were mourning and those who were grieving. And that's what empathy is. Empathy is the ability to feel what somebody feels. And so Jesus identifies with the pain and the mourning and the grief of the people that are closest to him, and he weeps with them, not just shedding a tear. If you look at this word weeps, it was a wailing weep. He was weeping like them. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, right? Does this mean at times God weeps? Does it mean at times that God feels something deeply in his emotions? Absolutely, it sure does. So God is so close to us and empathizes with us that there are times that he even groans, that he even weeps. There are times that his emotions are even moved with a righteous anger. Some of you don't see God that way. You never have. That's why you condemn people who express emotions and write them off to be, you know, someone who has a lack of faith. Come on now. If Jesus expressed anger and Jesus expressed being troubled in his soul, or his soul was vexed, if Jesus wept and wailed because of pain, come on now. To not give somebody permission to be human is to rob them of the image of God. But some of us faith people, we condemn people who are human. We judge people who are human. And this is why we see Jesus in this deep place of expressing his humanity. And so God, we could see, empathizes. He's not afraid of being close to us. He's not afraid to feel what we feel. He's not a God that is aloof. He's not a God that is disinterested or disconnected. He's here right now. He's here. He is here right now. He feels for you. He could feel what you are going through. And he is still the resurrection and the life. There still is resurrection miracle power in the atmosphere, just like it was in that moment in the story. And so I believe that someone here, somebody watching on our online community, you feel trapped. You feel stuck. You feel like an immovable rock is crushing you and holding you captive. I want you to know that the miracle always happens behind the rock. The miracle always takes place in the darkness and in the cave. Come on now. That's where miracles take place. I want to end it with this, but I want to call up our praise team right now, and I want to look at this. Verse 39, Jesus says, take Away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. So Lazarus is in the cave. Here's the picture the Holy Spirit wants you to see. See how it applies to your life. Lazarus is in the cave. He's behind the stone, and it reeks of death. It always does. It always does. In the cave, it reeks of death. The Holy Spirit wants us to know that the cave is a ruthless and merciless place. It's a repulsive and horrendous place. It's a place of death. It's a very real place. It's the place where we feel threatened. It's the place of our greatest fear. It's the place where you are losing hope, where you feel like things are never going to change. It's the place where darkness is closing in. It's the place where you desperately need intervention from God. You need a miracle. It's the place of the cave. It reeks and it stinks of death. Lazarus has been there for 4 days and his body now stinks. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, is boldly standing in front of death's door. He cries with a loud voice in verse 43. He cries with a loud voice, boldness, faith. And he speaks to dead things. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. I want you to stand to your feet. Jesus is here. There's no time and space in the realm of the Spirit. Jesus is now the resurrection and the life. He always loves to defy death. Because every time he defies death, it speaks about his lordship and absolute sovereignty over all of creation, including Satan. When Jesus speaks, he often speaks to dead things. When he speaks, things happen. Demons back off. Darkness flees at the sound of his voice. Caves in tremble. The earth shakes. Life and death must obey the voice of God. And in this moment, we see death is swallowed up with life. And that which is dead comes alive. Jesus says, loose him. Loose him. Him now and let him go free. This isn't a good story, just a good story. It's a living story. It's a living story. It's a living story for me and for you. It's a living story for anyone who is bound by darkness, anybody who needs a miracle. anybody who needs God to intervene. It's a living story. God is present right now, and he's speaking something to every single one of us today. He wants to manifest his resurrection and his life today in this place. He wants to take you from the cave. He wants to seat you at his table. Come on now. Listen, we're going to pray for people, but before we do that, I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. And everyone just take a moment and bow your head. Because Jesus said, I am right now resurrection and life. If you believe in me, though you die, you shall live. Whoever believes in me shall never die. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, he says to you, do you believe this? Maybe you're here under the sound of my voice and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Before we can pray for anybody, listen closely. Maybe you are here. Maybe you're a guest. Maybe you've been here before, but you've never surrendered your life to the one who claims to be right now resurrection and life. The only one that could give eternal life to any human being that's lost is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the one who died and rose again. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, anyone under the sound of my voice, you would say, Pastor Rob, I don't know that if I were to die right now that I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I've ever really accepted Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I don't know if I've been converted and become born again. I want to know for sure this morning, Easter Sunday 2021 can be your resurrection day. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Very quickly, if you would say to me right now, Pastor Rob, that's me. Quickly, as heads are bowed, lift up your hand and wave it to me. I've got to know somebody's in the house. One, two, three, four, five, six in the back, seven right here, eight people right here, nine, somebody in the back. There's resurrection power here right now to roll away the reproach of sin and death off of your life. God will breathe fresh, new life and give you a new beginning spiritually right now, and you will never see eternal death. When you breathe your last breath, you'll just transition into eternity forever and ever and ever. Maybe nine of you, 10 of you, maybe there's more. At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to do something because I want to pray with you personally. I want all of you to run quickly. Don't procrastinate. Something's going to happen now, but you've got to act. Do you believe, Jesus says? If you believe, at the count of three, make your way into the aisle. Come down here to stand with me. One, two, don't procrastinate. Move now. Three, come down here and stand with me right now. Right here. Look, face me. Stay here. Face me. Face me. Come on. There's more. The reproach of sin and death is about to be removed off of you. Come on, move over together here. Everybody move in together right now. I want everybody that's out there to reach your hand forward. If there's anybody else that needs to come down, come quickly. Lower the music just a little bit. Everyone who's standing here right now, I want you to invite Christ into your life. Say this, Heavenly Father, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. Let's everybody join in with them as they prayed. Let your confession of your mouth be heard with your own ears. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sin, that he rose from the dead, and he is the resurrection, and he is the life. And he is here to give me eternal life. Jesus, I open up my heart. I invite you to come in to be my Lord and to be my Savior. From this moment on, my declaration is, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, my life belongs to you. From this day forward, remove from me the reproach of sin and the reproach of death. In Jesus' name, breathe life into my soul. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Give them a hand. Come on now. Hallelujah. I want you to turn around. And I want you to turn around. Come up here. Come up here. And I want you to find somebody. Somebody. Greet them up here. Go ahead and greet them. Glenn and Maria. Greet them. Greet them. Couple. Rossiella, get up here and greet somebody. And I want you to welcome them to the family of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. And give them a hand. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Move them to the side. Move them to the side. Move them to the side. We're going to lower this for a moment. If you are here this morning and you need a miracle, Jesus says, I am right now, resurrection. It's not something in the future, it's right now. He told Martha and Mary, I am right now, resurrection, you're going to see a miracle. Whatever the miracle is that you need, I want to pray for you. I want you to make your way down here quickly, down to the front. I want you to go ahead and sing that song. Sing that song, that victory song. Make your way down here if you need a miracle. If you feel trapped, if you feel like there's an immovable stone in your life, if you feel like you are at death's door somewhere, if you feel the repercussions of death, whether it's sickness, whether it's a terminal disease, whatever your story is, you would say this Sunday in 2021, Easter resurrection morning, I'm coming to God as the resurrection and the life right now. He's the resurrection and the life. And you're coming to God saying, I need a miracle, God. I need a miracle, God. If you're watching online and you would say, I need a miracle, God, I want you to lift up your hands right now. I want to lift up your hands right now. Lift up your hands right now. Jesus says, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I am the resurrection right now. I am the life right now. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Are you ready? I'm going to come down and lay hands on you. Those of you who are watching right now, online, right now, lift up your hands and receive a miracle. Receive a miracle. Say, I believe you, God, for a miracle right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the powers that bind you. Wherever you are at, watching online right now, I command darkness to flee from your soul. I command darkness to flee from you. I command the resurrection power to come into your room now and visit you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, bring about a miracle. Heal the sick bodies. Heal the tormenting souls. Deliver those who are vexed now in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Here it comes. Are you ready? Jesus, it's yours. Receive the miracle.
My hell that to break me has failed. Now nothing will silence my praise, and I'll cry out in worship. Hey! The walls of the prison will shake. The chains. Oh,
Oh,
you for a day of new beginnings. Thank you for resurrection, God. Thank you for defying the claims of death. Thank you for defying the work of evil and the work of the enemy. Thank you that right now, God, you are our miracle. Thank you, God, for the atmosphere of being charged with your life, with your presence, with your glory. We love you and we honor you today. In the mighty, mighty, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise God, praise God. Woo! Listen, God bless you. The cafe is open, especially if you're a guest. Make sure you make your way to the cafe. Have a wonderful, happy Easter on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Be blessed.